Geocentric, episode 17.
Are you kidding me?
Far, far better rest I go to than I have ever.
Good day, sir! He's alive!
Nuclear combat, toe-to-toe with the Ruski.
Geocentric
is developing into a very bad habit.
You tell me that this sucker is nuclear? Inconceivable!
With John Newman,
we have an obligation to fight them until they are vanished from the page of time.
Not a finger!
And Nate Long.
I don't have a really good feeling about what's to come.
Help! Help! I'm being replaced!
Welcome to Geocentric.
Citizens of the United States, the RIAA and MPAA would have you believe you suffered a bone-crushing defeat this week at the hands of President Bush.
This week, we witnessed the signing of the Intellectual Property Rights Act of 2008, a bill that was underhandedly moved through Congress beneath the shadow of the financial crisis.
And now, with the creation of a so-called cabinet-level copyrights officer, the forces of social control and financial ignorance will be more organized than ever before.
And with the strengthening of the anti-freedom bureaucracy, and as the president has espoused the notions of digital rights management, the RIAA would have you say to your liberty, Conte partiro, to part with it once and for all.
But fear not, all you faint of heart, for there are universal forces behind us. No matter what oppression is laid upon us, we may reference the words of Adam Smith, John Nash, and countless others. They remind us of the natural power of our demands.
History has given us similar examples, such as Prohibition, that teach us what the inevitable outcome of this will be. We believe that the basic forces of economics will prevail in the end, though now we must bide our time.
Yet our hearts are full of hope for the future, when one day many voices will ring out a beautiful melody, saying once and for all to the RIAA.
Listeners of Geocentric,
unite!
Fear not, for we are on your side. And we will prevail in this battle against the dreadful RIAA.
Even if we do have to enlist Andrea Bocelli in this struggle for our freedom and independence.
So, let's hear a high note.
That's a beautiful line. Thank you, Andrea Bocelli. And welcome, world, to Geocentric.
That was beautiful.
The hostile takeover of awkward silence. I'm John.
I'm Nate.
And we are back with episode 17.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's coming along nicely, I think.
It is.
That's right. So let's start off by telling you how to get involved. The number, from memory, 206-337-1504, and that is the first time...
Can you do it twice?
...in the history of the show I've been able to say 206-337-1504 from memory.
And that's the second time.
Because I'm dumb.
I still don't know it. 206-337-1504. 1504
is how you call and leave us an MP3 comment. You can also email us at geocentric@inbox.com. Don't forget to check out the website, bringthemagic.com/geocentric. And from there, you can link to our blog or type in the URL, geocentricpodcast.blogspot.com. And you can also, from the website, stream the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget, you can also do that at iTunes, because we deliver this to you. Unlike the RIAA would probably like us to do it, in MP3 format with no digital rights management. Nate,
in
would
Polish,
you like
they
to...
call it bezpłatne.
What do they call bezpłatne?
Bezpłatne.
What do they call that?
Free.
Oh, free, sweet.
Without paying.
So why don't you comment a little bit on what's just happened to us this week?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the bit we just did at the beginning of the show.
Oh, where
we,
crap.
Where
already?
Oh, that's right. We have something in front of that, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second then. Instead,
I got
something better for you to do. Why don't you tell us what's coming up on the show?
All right, we can do that.
All right.
Cue the music.
And it's cued. Let's start with business, finance, and marketing.
We're going to tell you about a site that might show the music industry how to finally get it right with variable pricing for its music.
Current international events.
The RIAA bill was signed and we lost the battle. But have no fear.
Please.
We will win the war.
We must.
Iranian parliament says it's okay to kill a man who leaves Islam. Remember that Austrian far-right guy, Jorg Haider? Well, he's dead. Then, North Korea is taken off the terrorist list.
Are you kidding me?
the bra bandit steals 452 bras. Then, remember that woman that was stuck to her toilet? Well, her beau won the lottery twice.
Her what?
Her beau. A PETA girl changes her name to cutoutdissection.com. Makes sense coming from the people that told Ben and Jerry's to use breast milk for their ice cream. A man who caused damage at a wastewater treatment plant in Wisconsin has decided to pick public humiliation over jail time to pay for his crime.
I might do that.
A couple in Cambodia decides to end their marriage by sawing the house in half. A San Diego man is caught with lobsters in his pants. Finally, we're going to tell you about a ridiculous story Fox reported on about a demonic slash Islamic doll.
And this week, we're cutting out Streetwise to bring you election talk.
Are you still undecided about who you're going to vote for in November? We'll give you the top 10 web tools for the election season so you can be informed and ready to vote.
Tech and entertainment.
Wouldn't you like it if when you checked into a hotel, you were handed an iPod Touch?
Yes.
Well, then we'll tell you about the cool stuff that it can do.
What else do we have coming up in the show today?
We got Stump Cha-Cha, the Tech Byte update with Ethan Clark, the Glass Booth, new albums of the week, and new music by Houston Calls.
Awesome. Well, let's start.
All right.
And even though I gave you that teaser a minute ago, we're still not going to go into the content of it yet.
Not yet.
The first thing we need to do is talk a little bit about business, finance, and marketing. That's right. If teaser rates work for buying houses, Nate, why not for online music?
I suppose they would.
I suppose so, too. Why don't you tell us why?
All right, well, here's how it goes. There is a website called Amy Street, okay? If you're in a band, write this down, Amy Street.
A-M-I-E Street.
Okay.
Because, you know, people might think A-M-Y.
Yeah, indeed. A-M-I-E. You go to the website, and if you're a consumer, this is really good, a consumer of music. You go to the website, and depending on how popular a song is, when it first is posted on the site, it costs 0 cents. And then, depending on how many more people download it, it slowly raises in price as the demand for it increases. So, what you have is, you get it for free, but once everyone, all your friends, starts talking about it, then you have to pay a little more, and then it goes up higher and higher. But it will never go above 98 cents.
Okay, so what we're saying is, because we have an infinite supply, we can only gauge our prices going by a free market system on the demand.
Yeah.
So if there's no demand, it's free. If there's a high demand, the max you'll pay is 99 cents.
98 cents.
98 cents. Oh, better than iTunes.
One up iTunes. Yeah. Take that, Steve Jobbers.
That sounds to me like a good system.
It is. What's really cool is that it encourages you and me and others to listen to new music, discover that new music, because it's cheaper to discover new music, and then you only have to pay for it if it actually gets popular. I think that's pretty cool.
You can just go searching around all kinds of random bands, downloading their songs for free, and then if you like them and share them, and then they'll start making some money because you'll pass the word around.
Yeah, I think it'll be awesome. So if you guys hear about where this goes, let us know. We'd love to hear about the success, or if you guys went and got some free songs or some 5-cent songs, tell us about it. All right, let's move on to our next topic.
Okay, but before we do, we have to stump Cha-Cha.
Oh, of course we do.
Now, this is a really weird question. There's no guarantee that they won't get this right. The story is sort of all over the place.
You'll hear about it later.
News searcher. But the question for Cha-Cha this week, and you may or may not know what we're talking about, is, hold on, let me just tell you. The question for Cha-Cha this week is, what is the strangest thing a lottery winner's woman has ever been stuck to? Now, again, okay, the rules of Stump Cha-Cha.
John came up with this question, not me.
You always. Anyway, okay, so you dial 242-242, that is the text number for Cha-Cha, and
Cha-Cha.
You send them a question. They don't charge you anything, but your cell phone company obviously might charge you for sending a text message. But you send your question to Cha-Cha, and they claim to be able to answer any question within reason within a few minutes. They'll send you a text back. Now, we've been trying... Are you okay?
Yes. Started to swallow some water. Our rules
or that the Stump Cha-Cha has to get us by the end of the show.
Right. They have till the end of the show to give us the answer. Now, right now, the score is 8-5 Cha-Cha, but we're catching up.
We are.
Okay. Now, they might get us on this one, but it's just so much fun to ask this incredibly strange question to somebody who may have no idea what we're talking about.
And you will hear the answer right here on this podcast.
That's right. And the question again, what is the strangest thing a lottery winner's woman has ever been stuck to? And the reason it's phrased so weird is so as to not give them any keywords that make it easy to find.
So they can't just type in a couple keywords.
For anybody
who says
that's sexist to say like it's somebody's woman or whatever, that's not the point. The point is we're phrasing it weird, so it makes it hard for Cha-Cha to find the answer. But anyways, since we have now told you the question, and everybody who wants to try and beat Cha-Cha can pull up Google and get ready, I'm sending that text.
Launch that sucker
right now. And it's sent, and we will anxiously anticipate Cha-Cha's response. So, I teased something about us losing a battle to the RIAA.
That's right. Now we can talk about it.
And why don't you tell us exactly what happened, because I don't think I can handle it.
Okay, well, we told you guys about that bill that would appropriate our tax dollars so the government could go after us music downloaders. Now I'm not talking about pirates per se. I'm talking about people who copy their music and.
Except for I will say a lot of things that arguably should be legal are right now falling under the category of piracy. And
many
if you listened to our last episode, we talked. Two episodes ago. We did a whole special on it. So if you want more info on it, go back and re-listen.
Yeah, that was our feature podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Well, as we told you, it had gotten to the point where. It went to President Bush's desk, and he could either veto it, or sign it, or not do anything
for 10 days and have it pass.
And have it pass. Well,
so what did he do on the very last day that it could sit on his desk?
He signed it. So much for President Bush having his last chance to be an agent of change. Maybe we could enter a little clip right here that goes something like... Burr, burr, burr.
I think that was good enough. By the way, I would like to apologize to you, Nate.
Oh, why is that?
Last week, you had said something kind of weird and asked me if I could go back and edit it out later.
I
had jokingly said no, but then I forgot to and left it in. So in case you really wanted to edit it out. Sorry.
Oh, well. You guys, I'll give you another reason to download the episode to hear me make a fool out of myself. So here's what it all boils down to. We got screwed over this time around. We lost the battle, but we will win the war.
That's right. The forces of economics really do show that when the demand is high enough for something that is virtually impossible for the government to control, the government ends up giving up.
Also, as we noted in the last podcast, when we were talking about the comments on Dig... that it was
out of 189,
nearly 100% against that bill.
I didn't see a single person who was in favor of it.
So
basically what he's done...
It has the vote of the people against it.
President Bush has made a cabinet-level intellectual property czar, which I'd like to interject a comment here and ask, why does he keep calling these people czars? What is that? The emperor of Russia that was overthrown by the communist Bolsheviks. That is the weirdest thing you could call a member of your cabinet.
Well, it fits the picture really well.
I know, that's Tsar Nicholas, the guy who was assassinated. Anyway, so he's wasted... taxpayer money on creating a new cabinet-level position to organize these crazy people who want to go after people who are not doing anything morally and ethically wrong in the official and very first real position, I think, taken by this show on an issue politically. Hmm. Yeah. But that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
I'm mad, but we'll win.
Yes, we will.
In the end.
All right, let's move on. What do we have next?
Let me see. That wasn't the end. Okay. That's right. We're still talking about current international events. Was that the smiley?
Stupid.
Okay.
Ah!
Let's take a vote. Who here hates going to a website and hearing those stupid smileys in the ads start, say something?
This one just went, Yahoo! I hate those stupid things.
Okay. The next thing. Can you be hanged for being a Christian in Iran? Is basically the headline of an article from the telegraph.co.uk. But we'd like to clarify this. This is not for being a Christian, this is for leaving Islam, apostatizing from the Islamic
faith. Leaving the faith. Yeah.
Now, let me just say, in all fairness to Islam, there are many different groups and different sects, if you will, of Islam.
Different what?
Sects. S-E-C-T-S. I emphasize that so people don't think I'm saying something weird. But anyways, the point is, the vast majority of Muslims will not kill you for joining another faith, okay? Yeah. Most Muslims will tell you that there is no evidence in the Quran that that should be the case.
And they are a peaceful religion.
That's right. Islam, as a vast majority, is a peaceful religion. But, of course, like any religion, it has its crazies. Some of those crazies, in the opinion of this show, are in the Iranian parliament, who happened to vote 196-7 for a bill that would make it so illegal to leave Islam that you will be executed for it.
As a male, you would get a death penalty.
Women get life in prison, male get executed for leaving Islam, supposedly, as long as this bill gets signed into law, which, knowing the leadership of Iran... Well, actually, I'll be fair. I don't know that much about Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader, but based on how Ahmadinejad's past performance has been...
By the way, I just want to note, there's been a lot of talk about how Barack Obama said that he would sit down with any leader without preconditions, mm-hmm. one of them being Ahmadinejad. It was recently said by Ahmadinejad himself when responding to this comment that, who says I don't have preconditions? What if I don't want to talk to you?
So, that's a really good point.
What a freaking idiot. Can't stand that guy.
And Nate doesn't like him.
Ahmadinejad.
Anyway, so that's Article 23 of Iran's own constitution, by the way, states that no one may be molested simply for his beliefs, which seems to contradict this new bill that's being passed. But members of the parliament and others say that they don't see any contradiction, which, I mean, that's their worldview, I suppose, and the framework of their own minds, that doesn't contradict. What is interesting,
the other thing is, technically, this headline is also wrong, not only because it's not talking about being a Christian, but it's talking about leaving the Islamic faith. So technically, right. Under this definition that we've been given, a Christian who has moved to Iran would not get the death penalty.
Right.
Because
no, I don't know if
he didn't leave the Islamic faith.
Well, at least as long as he's always been a Christian.
Yeah.
You never know what sort of retroactive policies they may have. But the funny thing is,
it's not like they're rational.
The European Union, the United Nations, all these people, Britain's foreign secretary is pretty much the only guy from a Western country who put on record his opposition to this. Everybody else that I just mentioned has been strangely silent on it. And Germany, in fact, Iran's largest foreign trading partner, has just increased its business deals with Iran by more than half. So, okay. That's what's going on over there in that region these days.
And people have been executed for leaving the faith before, should be noted, including one man that I believe he converted to Islam, from Islam to Christianity in 1960
when he was 13. Right.
30 years later, he was hanged by the Iranian authorities for that decision. That's just one example.
So that's something
going on. So it has happened. It's not just something they're talking about. Right. It also has happened.
It's going to be enforced.
It very well
more
could happen. Yeah.
The scope will be broader.
Exactly.
Yeah, but speaking of Germany, and as we move over to the Germanic region of Europe, many of you may remember Jörg Haider from Austria.
Haider.
No.
He's a hater.
Anyway, the guy was a high-up official in the super far-right, fanatical right-wing party over there, and he was getting a lot of power in the government. Austrians have been mad about things, and their views have been moving a little bit further to the right lately, and then all of a sudden, boom!
At 142 kilometers an hour,
Jörg Haider dies in a car crash, double the speed limit, at some godforsaken hour of the morning when nobody was on the road, supposedly leaving a nightclub.
I guess he's a party hard guy.
Yeah. Kind of weird, though, wouldn't you say? Everybody's so concerned about this guy gaining power. All these stories are coming out about the dangers of Austrian right-wing people, and then all of a sudden, he's dead. At a time when I don't think anybody saw it happen. Kind of funny. I won't say anything else about that, but kind of funny.
Yeah. Interesting. Not saying that we'll miss him, but
I guess still, that's kind of strange. How it goes. Yes.
All right. So, next item of business in international events.
What do we have?
U.S. takes North Korea off the terror list.
On again, so off again, on again, on off again, on again, so off again.
I guess they haven't tested any nukes in a while, so they're off for the time being.
Well, see, North Korea's nuclear program is their only bargaining chip. North Korea has nothing, and they have to get stuff from everybody else. And the only way they get stuff from everybody else is by saying, if you don't, we're going to continue our nuclear program. When they stop getting stuff, they continue their nuclear program. Then they start getting stuff again, and then they stop their nuclear program or put it on hiatus and get taken off the terrorist list.
Once I got
again,
an idea.
It's a cycle.
How about we stop giving them nuclear stuff?
They already have it. Once you have it, you have it. And that was interesting. I want to say something too. We talked a lot in, what was it? Was it episode 3 where we talked all about Iran and their nuclear capabilities?
Oh,
you remember
yeah.
that? And I made the statement that, in my opinion, Iran wouldn't develop nuclear weapons because their supreme leader had issued a fatwa against
yes.
them for Iran. The interesting thing is, somebody brought up a point, and I couldn't believe when I heard this that I hadn't thought of it myself. And maybe some of you out there are going to say, that's right, that's what I said! You're going to be jumping up and down. But if Iran does develop the technology to make nuclear weapons, they don't have to make them. They can sell that technology to anybody else yeah. in the region.
Yeah, that's good point. There goes all your logic. No one listened to episode 3 or whatever it was. I'm just kidding. No,
I
definitely
think it's all still good.
It's still a good point.
I still don't think that Iran would personally make them under this current administration, but they have every reason perhaps to sell them. But anyway, so that's Iran, and that's North Korea for the day.
All right, so before we move on to Are You Kidding Me, what are we doing next? We have...
Let's see. The next is our
new albums
of the week, yes.
Sweet. All right, well, let's cue some music, and we'll talk about the new albums.
Music is cute.
All right, let's see what we got here. Lucinda Williams' new CD is called Little Honey. All right.
Cool.
Keane's new CD is Perfect Symmetry. Kenny Chesney has a CD called Lucky Old Son Deluxe. Does that mean it's Deluxe Edition, or is that part of the CD title? I don't know. I don't know enough Kenny Chesney music, I'll be honest. Hey, here's a good one. Songs of Joy and Peace by Yo-Yo Ma. That would be the cellist.
We need some of those after the ridiculous RIAA victory.
Yeah, we do. So it sounds like more and more Christmas CDs are coming out, including
Just
the
bitter.
Elvis Presley Christmas duets, bringing all of his Christmas duets together in a CD. Biz Markie, Yo Jabba Jabba, the Dancy Dance Bunch.
I think that's going to be Yo Gabba Gabba.
I have no idea. Oh, no way. I don't remember how to say this guy's name. It's like Yngwie Malmsteen, one of the best guitar players ever to live, has a new CD called Perpetual Flame for all you, guitar. I don't know what's out there.
Just listen to it.
Multidimensional Warrior is a new CD by Santana.
That's awesome.
By Carlos Santana. Good stuff. I like Santana. Billy Currington has a new CD called Little Bit of Everything. Let's see what else we have. Okay.
Do you have AC/DC on that list?
I'm not sure
if it's this week, but if it's not there, I want to mention AC/DC has a new album coming out. It's not a greatest hits. It's a real new album, and it's only going to be available at Walmart.
That's exciting. Mary Mary's new CD is called The Sound. New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits, but they all made me sick.
That was clever. That was very clever.
That was off the top of my head. Yeah. The new CD is called Merry Merry Christmas. All right. Ingrid Michaelson's new CD is Be Okay. Tony Bennett's new CD is A Swingin' Christmas. Well, I don't know if he...
There's a lot of CD. Christmas spirit out there in the musician world.
Nikki Costa CD is Pebble to a Pearl. Wow, isn't that clever?
That's
all I want to talk about. Nothing exciting for this week, really. Let's be honest.
This week we're like, I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Except for Yngwie Malmsteen, who I can't even say his name. There's no CD on there that I really listen to, ever. Even for free.
Not even so. Yo-Yo Ma?
Okay, Yo-Yo Ma I will put in during Christmas time. He is a talented cello player. Cellist, right, as they say.
By the way, no message back from Cha-Cha yet. You want to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, this is why we titled the show this week, Are You Kidding Me? Because we have
a lot of stuff.
A lot to discuss in that topic.
So if you think that we're a little ahead of schedule, we're not. So we're going to have to go through these. Well, let's just say how they are.
All right, number one, Bra Bandit strikes again in Southwest Florida. 160 bras, valued at nearly $6,000, were stolen on Thursday from a Victoria's Secret in Bonita Springs.
That's right. The Associated Press reports that the same Bra Bandit has actually stolen 452 bras, valued at nearly $19,000, and they're all from Victoria's Secret.
So is this just some kind of pervert guy stealing bras? No. A female customer walked into the store Thursday and immediately went to a four-drawer cabinet with new bras of the Pink brand name. The store manager told deputies the woman waited until employees were busy helping customers and then, quote, thrust the bras into a bag and exited the store.
So this woman is up to 452. Crazy.
And we should ask if there's any connection between the Bra Bandit and the braless bandits.
The braless bandits.
That we talked about. The three women wearing overalls and no bras that robbed some
man.
Random guy on the street.
So maybe the Bra Bandit stole their bras. All right. Next story. Also reported from the Associated Press. You guys remember that woman that was stuck to the toilet? For a long time.
2 years.
She was stuck on the toilet for 2 years because she was scared to get off the toilet and her husband didn't care about her. Boyfriend, sorry. Her beau.
That's important because the headline is beau.
Yes. Her beau didn't care about her enough to go in there and lift her off the toilet. Well, it turns out that she was stuck to the toilet and had to be cut off the toilet seat.
But
right?
Let's just say, you don't get stuck to a toilet the first time you sit down. She was stuck to it because her skin had grown around the seat in the 2 years that she hadn't moved.
That's disgusting.
That's right. In fact, her boyfriend, 37-year-old, had received 6 months of probation after pleading no contest to a misdemeanor mistreatment of a dependent adult. And What did this wonderful guy have happen to him just recently?
Well, it turns out as he was neglecting his girlfriend, he actually won the state lottery twice for a total of $20,000.
This most recent time with a $2 bonus crossword ticket.
Okay, so $20,000 and $2. $20,000 and $2.
Yeah, I get. Well, I don't know how
plus
it
maybe
works.
More.
The $2 is, I think, how much his ticket costs. I don't know how that works. I don't ever play the lottery because
it was
it's ridiculous.
A bonus crossword ticket. Well, all I gotta say is that guy.
What better person to receive to win the lottery than the man who lets his girlfriends get
that guy's paying for my college education, so I'm not gonna complain.
No, this is Kansas. I doubt a dollar that went to your college education. All right, next story. Man opts for I was stupid sign.
All right, let me tell you about this story. This is in Wisconsin.
Eau Claire. No, it should be Eau Claire. Eau Claire.
Eau Claire. Man, we're getting a lot of Beau, Eau Claire, all this French stuff. Good old. All our French brothers out there who are listening, this one goes out to you. Eau Claire, Wisconsin. There's a man that drove his car into a fence at a wastewater treatment plant.
Just rammed it right into the gate. Just
went right in there.
Drove it right in.
So, he was taken to court, and basically he was found guilty of criminal damage to property for ramming his car into a closed gate at the plant.
Now, the judge gave him a choice.
Okay.
He could either serve jail time, or he could spend a day outside the plant holding a sign that says, I was stupid. And which one did he choose?
He chose the sign. I would choose
That's
the sign.
That's exactly what I would choose. I would choose the sign.
Trust me, there's a lot more public humiliation in jail than there is outside of a water treatment plant. So I would have definitely chosen the sign.
All right, so was the man really that stupid? For ramming his car into the gate? Yes. For choosing to hold the sign instead of serving
maybe,
bail?
Yeah, maybe he's redeeming himself a little bit. So there, you know, maybe there's some pictures like, or video gotten like, of that we should find.
That's like five steps back and one step forward.
You can just picture. By the way, you guys should check out a blog. It's called the Fail Blog. If you want to see some funny pictures.
Failblog.org.
I can just see this picture being on Fail Blog. Someone drives up and there's like a broken down fence and a car where the guy parked to do his time. And he's holding a sign that says, I was stupid, and just standing there. That sounds like a good fail. All right, next one.
Do you remember when we talked about New Zealand and that poor girl whose name was Tallulah Does the Hula from Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. And I think I was in Europe for that, but I listened nonetheless.
And when the judge found out about this, he made her a temporary ward of the court and changed her name because she was so embarrassed about it. Now, here in the United States, we don't really ban names so much. Instead, apparently, we like to get as weird as we possibly can with our names. For example.
And who weirder to come from than PETA? Our friends over at PETA. Now, for those of you who don't remember,
against the ethical treatment of animals,
we agree in the ethical treatment. John actually has a dog.
I love my dog, and I would never mistreat my dog.
And no one should ever mistreat that dog.
Sincerely look down upon people who mistreat animals and think that they should, you know,
exactly
be charged with crimes.
I saw a dead dog on the side of the road one time, and I cried.
However, what I would not do if my dog was hit by a car. Is I would not change my name to StopHittingDogsWithCars.com.
Oh, I guess that relates to this story. This was Asheville High. Where was this located? Oh, it's in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Okay, yeah, Asheville High.
Come on, raise up.
So you're in these science classes. I actually was unable to experience this. I didn't really receive that great of a science education in my day. We didn't do any dissecting.
Were you? I'm not gonna talk about it. Okay.
I'm not gonna talk bad about him in public. Maybe some other time. but you're supposed to like dissect animals, little frogs, I guess. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, we had to do a pig. In this case, it was a chicken.
Oh, a chicken. Okay. So it was a chicken wing, right? So it made this teenage girl uncomfortable.
Yeah, chicken wing.
As it does
wing.
All teenage girls. But she also had ethical reasons for not doing it because it was, you know, cutting up an animal, an innocent animal. So she decided that she wanted to protest this and, you know, good for her. And she did this by changing her name to cutoutdissection.com.
She really, honestly, literally, legally changed her name to cutoutdissection.com. Ridiculous.
Yeah. All right.
And
that's PETA.
By the way, she is now an intern for PETA, and most of her family members still call her Jennifer.
This is the same PETA, by the way, for those of you who don't remember, that sent a letter to Ben and Jerry's suggesting that they use breast milk instead of cow milk. Human breast milk instead of cow milk in their ice cream. And to give it up for Ben and Jerry's, they could have just said, are you guys serious? And posted all over the internet and said, these guys are a joke. Everyone else did that for them. But instead, they had a very professional response that said, you know, it went something like this. You know, we think that human breast milk should probably be reserved for the babies that are meant to drink that milk. So, and if Ben and Jerry's ever did put an ounce of human breast milk and ice cream, I would never buy Ben and Jerry's again.
I saw, by the way,
that's kind of weird.
I never told you. I saw a comment on that story where one woman had said, "You know what? Cows liked to be milked. Cows like to be milked." I don't know anything about milking cows, but I just thought it was a funny comment. And then the fact that I screwed it up just now when I tried to say
it,
made it even better.
Yeah. And what was interesting, too, just going back to some of the details, is PETA said something to the extent of cows are basically born and raised to give milk, and And to give all the supply of milk that you need to go in this ice cream, it was just like, just wears the poor cows out. To the extent that I wondered, well, how much human milk would that take to fill one cow?
You'd have to take women, constantly impregnate them so that the milk is being produced.
Because that's what PETA says, is that you have
them,
to...
Keep them all cooped up in a room and milk them.
All day long. So it seems to be that sometimes PETA is all about the ethical treatment of animals, but sometimes over the ethical treatment of real people. That's where my disagreement starts to begin with them. Right. So check this next story out. This happens in Cambodia. There's a couple in rural Cambodia.
That's right. Shout outs to you, Cambodia.
You Cambodian listeners.
You know
out
who
there.
You are.
Or maybe you don't.
Bloopies.
They're married.
Inside
for
joke. Sorry.
They're married for 18 years and decided that they wanted a divorce. That's sad. So they decide they're going to split everything in half, including the house.
Literally. The woman said, "It's very strange, but this is what my husband wanted." The husband, 42-year-old, however you say this, Moyon Sarim, has taken away with him all the bits and pieces of his half of a house and gone off to, I guess, rebuild it or whatever you do with a sawed-off half of a house.
He put it on his back and walked into the sunset.
But they sawed their house in half as part of their equal distribution of property in the divorce.
Well, I tell you what, divorces can be nasty. I wouldn't know from experience. Good thing.
And hopefully we never will.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next story. This one brings us back a little closer to home. Not really. Where we are. Well, let's go over to San Diego. There's a man accused of tucking 6 lobsters into his pants.
Now he's actually being accused of poaching. Yeah. Is the big deal here. You don't just poach lobsters, okay? You don't just poach lobsters. Not from the La Jolla State Marine Conservation Area in San Diego.
Cambodia.
The 33-year-old Bean Quang Chow.
I'm not going to be ignorant. I was going to say maybe he's from Cambodia,
because
too.
Because we're going to talk about stereotyping in just a minute. So we can't do that.
I'm not stereotyping. I'm just saying his name kind of looked like the other guy's name.
Yeah, Cambodians are not all ridiculous.
Oh, I'm not saying all. No,
okay,
I love Cambodians.
I thought that's where
in
you
fact,
were going
one of my
with
best
that.
Friends is a Cambodian. In fact, I call him Bodia for short.
I met him once. Bodia, that's right. He is awesome.
Love Cambodian. So all you Cambodians out there, not
sort of a young pup, isn't he?
He is a young pup. We even wrote a song about him one time.
That's right.
A non-stereotypical song.
He appears as an Easter egg, by the way, in the pirate song that we recorded in Geocentric episode
13,
Dead Men Tell No Tales.
The pirate episode.
That's right. Anyway, so this guy, Bean Quang Chow, took 6 lobsters and stuffed them down his pants. Wardens, this is a quote, wardens arrested Chow when they noticed odd bulges in his pants. All 6 of the newspaper-wrapped lobsters were still alive and returned to the ocean.
To which the warden said, "You have one of 2 problems. Let's ask the first question. Do you have lobsters in your pants, boy?" And the guy said, "Yes, I do." "Okay, good, because the second problem would have been a lot worse."
And this time I will not click the clean
in this button. In this case, jail time is much better. So, moving on.
Okay. We have another story. Is this our last one for Are You Kidding Me News?
It is.
Okay. Another thing that happened while Nate was in Europe is I called out CNN big time for lying.
That was good.
Yeah, they lied. It was a serious misleading, deliberate misleading of anybody who was reading the story. Now,
we here at Geocentric, we seek to fact check and call out those who misrepresent the true news.
That's right. And this week it's Fox News's turn.
That's right.
For anybody who thought we were starting to be a little biased towards Fox, Fox is about to get it. Okay, now this one is not for lying per se, but for being incredibly ignorant
and ridiculous
and terrible. So what I want to do real fast here...
Let's just play the whole clip.
Is just play an entire clip taken
the way it was reported on
Fox.
And this was from the local affiliate, right, that we're about to play it from?
Right. Still endorsed by Fox, though. Make no mistake.
My Fox KC. It's from Kentucky.
That's right. Now, here is the clip.
Welcome back. A children's toy is turning some heads in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it is. Folks are buying a doll that doesn't really talk like it's supposed to. As Gary Barrett reports, the doll is instead spouting hate.
What did that sound like to you?
Because I'm like, did I hear what I think I just heard?
Mia Williams believes this doll, despite its sweet name, is spouting more hate than love.
And all of a sudden it says, Islam is the light. And I'm like, turn down the radio. And then it's like, Satan is the king.
The doll is called the Little Mommy Real Loving Baby Cuddle and Coo.
They were cute. We were walking past, and as you walk past, they left.
It's made by Fisher-Price and sold by stores all over the country. We showed it to another mom.
I heard it say Islam is the light. I think that's nuts.
And she's glad it didn't end up in her cart.
I'm going to be shaking things on the shelf first, because most of the time I just pick it up and say here.
Although her daughter has a different idea.
Yeah, I'll pull the batteries out and just like pretend it's just a fake doll that doesn't say anything.
You could pull out the batteries, but Target says they're already pulling it off the shelves. If you do find you have one, you should bring it in for a return and then contact the manufacturer, Fisher Price. Carrie Barrett, Fox News.
Thank you, Carrie Barrett. The first thing I would like to say to you, Carrie Barrett, is this. Islam is the light is not a hate message.
No,
and
it's
technically,
not.
Neither is Satan is the king. More people may have a problem with Satan is the king, but neither one are hate messages. That's not how it works. That's terrible.
That
I can't believe Fox reported that way. The other thing is, that doll is clearly saying... It's not saying Islam is the light. It's random baby gibberish.
Actually, what I heard was, I am a baby doll and I will kill you all in a matter of 3 years, 14 days, 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 1 second.
I'm not even going to be able to remember that when it comes around.
That's what the doll actually, that's what I heard. I mean, I don't know. Everyone hears, you know, I'm just saying what I heard. Let's report it.
So, Fox, are you kidding me? It makes me so mad.
First of all, that's stupid that the doll would even say that. And even if it did, it's not a hate message.
So there you go.
Let us know what you think.
That is the burn on Fox News for this week. I cannot believe they did that.
Indeed.
So now you know, neither CNN nor Fox News will be off the hook for being
they can't be
stupid
trusted.
And ridiculous.
And we'll get the rest of them, don't worry. Yeah. We're not biased toward any network. Just because we haven't hated on them yet, we will.
Well,
because
I am biased towards one network. That would be the Geocentric Network.
Okay, well, I'll call you out on something stupid that I said the other day. I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. What do we have coming up next? We just took care of Are You Kidding Me? Oh, that's right. Okay, now... We are
still no word from Stump Cha-Cha?
Still no word from Stump Cha-Cha. I'm surprised. We may beat him on this. And if you didn't guess already, the answer is a toilet.
Yeah, that was the story we just talked about.
Okay, since the elections here in the United States are coming up really soon, what we're going to do is every week we're going to rotate through and we're going to drop one of our usual topics and replace it with election talk. Now, this week we're dropping out Streetwise and replacing it with election talk. And the first thing we want to do is introduce you to a really cool website called glassbooth.org. And basically what you do here, it's a website where if you're still not sure what everybody's voting, what the candidates are saying on different issues, and if you would like to know more about a candidate besides Barack Obama and John McCain, you can go to glassbooth.org, and what you do is... You play this little game, and we'll run through sort of a mock one.
It's a fun little game.
And what they do is they say, okay, there are 16 topics, and you start out with 20 points. And then you distribute your 20 points amongst the 16 topics, depending on what you think is the most important things to you.
So you give them weight, essentially.
You give them weight. And then after you've done that, it will ask you questions where you rate things on a very opposed to very pro. Something on questions about the topics that you gave weight to. And at the end, it will show you who you agreed with most out of all the candidates, including Nader, Bob Barr, Cynthia McKinney, McCain, and Obama. And it will show you percentage-wise how you agree with them on each topic, and you can even look at every candidate.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is actually run a test real quick, and we're going to be completely random. This isn't actually our opinion, so you're going to see how random this is going to be.
Right.
And we're going to tell you what these views align with. So let's go down the list.
Okay, I'm going to start off by giving 1 point to each one on the list. And the topics are taxes and budget, science, civil liberties and domestic security, which truthfully I'm not quite sure why those two go together, Iraq and foreign policy, internet and media, crime and punishment, trade and economics, environment and energy, gun control, immigration, healthcare, social security, education, gay rights, abortion and birth control, medical marijuana, and drug policy.
So how about to make it easy, let's choose 8 things and put all of our points in those equally. Let's do taxes and budget. Let's do Iraq and foreign policy.
Okay, hold on. Taxes and budget.
Yeah, taxes and budget.
Iraq and foreign policy.
Let's do civil liberties and domestic security.
Civil liberties and domestic security.
Internet and media.
Internet and media.
Let's do crime and punishment. How many is that that we're up to?
Crime and punishment. We're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We get 3 more.
Okay, 3 more. Let's trade and economics.
Okay.
Environment and energy.
Okay.
And how about immigration?
And immigration will be our last one.
Okay, so we're gonna put all of our points into those just to save a little bit of time. You guys make sure you go to this site and see where you are.
Okay, and I gave 2 points to each of those categories. I have 4 left. I'm going to randomly distribute them throughout the... Okay, there we go.
And by randomly, he means he's just going to click.
Yeah, I just clicked a couple. Okay, so moving on. So we distributed some weight, and now we have some questions. For example, I support or oppose the use of public funds to prevent failing financial institutions like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and AIG from going bankrupt. So basically, I support or oppose what just happened. And I have,
let's say that we strongly support it.
I have 6 options I can choose.
Okay, yeah.
I can
give the options.
Strongly oppose, moderately oppose, be neutral, moderately support, strongly support, or skip the question.
Okay.
So you wanted to what?
Let's skip the question.
Okay, we'll skip the first one.
See
Why
what
not?
Happens.
Okay, next. An increase in taxes for the wealthiest Americans.
Let's say moderately support.
Okay, moderately support. And by the way, we're intentionally not going to give you our real views.
Not necessarily. We might click something that matches.
Okay, let me say it this way. You shouldn't think that we're telling you our real views on these subjects.
We're just going to do it like random. Okay, I support or oppose the 2006 extension of the Patriot Act.
Let's strongly oppose that one.
Okay, let's strongly oppose it. And the Patriot Act deals with wiretapping and...
Yeah. Okay, the next one.
And also when you go to get a job, Social Security, all that. You guys can look into that.
Giving the federal government more domestic surveillance power.
Since we strongly oppose the other one, let's moderately oppose this one.
Okay.
But we still have to be similar on the
similar side. Extending the right of habeas corpus to Guantanamo detainees. Let's say this person doesn't care about Guantanamo.
Okay.
And is totally neutral on it.
But doesn't want to skip it.
Right.
Because they are informed about it, but they're just actually neutral.
Okay, the next one. Setting a withdrawal timetable for U.S. troops to leave Iraq.
Let's say moderately oppose.
Moderately oppose. Okay, the increase in troop levels in Iraq, which has been going on. Okay, so if we want to set a withdrawal timetable, we probably are going to moderately oppose this, would you say? Or maybe even be neutral on it? What we're saying is we want to set a withdrawal timetable.
Not necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily, though.
Well, I guess you're right.
If you set a withdrawal timetable, you might actually...
Want to put more troops in for now before... Yeah, depending
on
the situation.
Yeah, some people say that you want to put more troops in to get them out quicker. Some people say that you want to put less troops in to get them out.
Okay,
it all depends.
So it sounds like based on what we answered for our last question, we should be... We're acting neutral on this next one, too.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. We have a couple more questions here.
I support or oppose rules limiting the number of media outlets, which are newspapers, TV, or radio stations, other outlets, a single corporation can own within individual media markets.
Okay, For the next one, the principle of equal access to internet bandwidth, known as net neutrality. Since we haven't strongly supported anything yet, let's strongly support that one. Okay. Retroactive immunity for telecommunications companies who cooperated in warrantless government-ordered surveillance of Americans. So if the government says to your cell phone company, I want to wiretap so-and-so, but they have no warrant, okay? And then the company says, okay, we're saying I support or oppose making them immune from being charged for that.
Let's moderately oppose that. Okay. How about that?
Moderately oppose. I support or oppose the death penalty.
How about moderately support?
Moderately support. Hate crime legislation. Moderately support.
Strongly support.
Okay, strongly support.
Because we don't even want
dolls.
You seemed
enthusiastic about that.
We don't even want dolls to send out hate messages.
All right.
So let's strongly support.
Unrestricted free trade.
Unrestricted free trade. I don't like that. I don't like the way that sounds. Free.
All right. Free
trade.
Nothing. There's no such thing as a free lunch. I'm opposing that strongly. All right. An increase in the federal minimum wage.
You want Let's moderately support that.
Okay. We'll moderately support it. All right. Government subsidies to farmers.
I hate farmers. Strongly oppose it. A farmer yelled at me the other day. I was just skipping in a field. I just wanted to eat some corn.
Okay, the idea.
And he yelled at me. He shouldn't get my subsidies.
The idea that human pollution is a significant cause of global warming. I don't want to touch that. Skipping. Okay. International treaties to cut greenhouse gas emissions like the Kyoto Protocol.
May as well skip that too, then.
Okay.
Shouldn't have actually put the environment. No, I just put you moderately support
said,
it.
We said it was heavy on our list and we're skipping the question.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll moderately support. Okay, a path to citizenship for illegals.
Let's oppose that. Why do illegal immigrants need citizenship?
Okay.
Why do any immigrants need citizenship? No one should come to this country.
Temporary guest.
Anyways, they're
program.
Taking my job. They're taking our job.
Taking our job.
Say that again.
Taking our jobs.
That's pretty good.
I stole that. I didn't make that up. That's actually South Park.
Oh.
It was on in the background the other day. Anyway.
Right. You watch it religiously.
I do not religiously watch South Park. All right. A temporary guest worker program.
Why would we support that if we don't support citizenship?
Like we don't like it. We don't,
they're stealing our jobs.
Taking our jobs. The construction of a fence along the yes fence keep them out.
No, let's strongly oppose it because what we really want are automatic missiles that fire at anybody that comes
Star
within
Wars laser
500
program.
Miles of the border. They automatically get shot
okay,
by
here
a
we go see my result and we 67% agree with Barack Obama.
I'm sorry. We didn't know it was going to do this.
Okay, right. Okay. Let's clarify. This is not a burn on Barack Obama.
This isn't.
We randomly guessed things all over the spectrum.
Now, the thing is, too, it's only 67% similarity.
That's right.
It is the highest, though.
Yeah. So that's about, based on the random answers we gave that surely were in contradiction with themselves many times.
Yeah,
okay.
See, that's the thing, too.
So the website had really crappy stuff to work with, but it came
that
out.
That was pretty funny.
Doing the averages, it came out with 67% of Barack Obama. We agreed with him 100% on crime and punishment. Let's see what we answered.
You can click find out why to see why your answer agreed or disagreed.
And it gives you quotes and sources. A quote is, I have said repeatedly that I think the death penalty should be applied in very narrow circumstances for the most egregious of crimes. I think that the rape of a small child, 6 or 8 years old, is a heinous crime, and if a state mistakes a decision that under narrow, limited, well-defined circumstances, and the state makes a decision that under narrow, well-defined circumstances, the death penalty is at least potentially applicable, that does not violate our Constitution. So basically, he said, in really egregious crimes, it can be left up to the state.
Or to make it really basic with the actual question, he moderately supports the death penalty,
right.
Which is what we happen to choose in our random test.
And we only agreed with him on immigration 17%.
So if you guys are laughing because we got Barack Obama because he wants to do the missile thing, that's not true.
And we won't go into this, but we also agreed
right
with
behind it.
Ralph Nader 66% of the time. And Cynthia.
And right behind that.
McKinney, 65% of the time.
Who is of the Green Party?
Right, she's the Green Party candidate, which is interesting because...
So, just one more thing in this election. Make sure you're looking at the issues and really finding out who you want to vote for. And the other thing is, to be honest, a lot of people say, you know, there's only two candidates in this race because only one of those two are going to win. They're probably right about that, but vote... vote by what you think will be best for the country is all I'm saying. Now that might be voting for the lesser of two evils, or it might be voting for the person that actually most aligns with your viewpoint.
It's good in general to discourage the strategic voting. Like, instead of voting for some guy, I'm actually voting against the other guy.
But at the same time, you might see it as being still better for the country.
It all just depends. Those of you who understand economics, game theory, prisoners' dilemmas in particular, you'll understand why strategic voting arises the way it does.
Mm-hmm.
But, if in an ideal utopia of the United States, everybody forgot about the fact that the Democrats and the Republicans are the most powerful parties here and just voted for whoever they really thought was the best.
Yeah.
And disregarded that, then we might see a lot different things happening, and it might be good for the country. You never know.
And that's true. See, I actually think it might be kind of interesting to see more political parties come on the scene, and I mean really come on the scene, like have a viable, you know, a real
chance
of winning.
And I predict within the next 20 years a Libertarian Party upsurge. I do.
Within 20 years?
Within 20 years. Oh. Now, not necessarily to make them as powerful or as mainstream as Republicans or Democrats, but I predict a big surge in their numbers.
Well, they really are very, very different from the Democrats and very, very different from the Republicans.
Right. What I've heard a lot, a million times when talking to people is, look, I'm conservative on economic stuff and I'm liberal on social stuff. But a lot of these people who say that don't realize there's a name for it.
Yeah.
And that's libertarian.
And the reason we use that example is because if you go back to our special on oil, we actually had a lot of people that said that. It seems like a lot of people our age, which, by the way, in case you didn't know, is kind of the college student age. We found that a lot of them are just that. They almost fit into that libertarian category. Right. They're socially liberal and they're economically and fiscally conservative.
And when we say, and the other thing too is that a lot of these people find themselves when they think that they're more liberal on an issue, really they fall more to the center than far to the left. Does that make sense? Right.
That does make sense.
Like there'll be a lot of people who think that we should start getting the troops out of Iraq because it's over and done with,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time they don't want to say, all right, we're going to leave on December 25th. Hey, that's Christmas. But you see what I'm saying? Like there's basically the
idea just
is
like that, huh?
if you have the left, which says, let's have, more equality legislation, like specifically economically, and less, order and moral legislation. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the conservatives on the right who say, no, we need more moral legislation and more freedom to do things economically, you know, lower taxes and whatnot. What you have is you have libertarians in the middle who will say, I don't want you legislating either.
Yeah. So basically libertarians are kind of the true small government because like John pointed out, Democrats are big government on fiscal issues and a lot smaller on social issues.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans are a lot bigger government on social issues, but a lot smaller on economic and fiscal issues.
Mm-hmm.
Libertarians like small government all the way around. Basically, their motto is, government, stay out of my way.
Yeah,
stay out of my
much.
Life. They don't like people going onto their property and things like that. So, but once again, it still is center. It's still center. We really don't have real extremist political parties in this country.
We have them, but we don't have them as credible parties any sort of power.
And by credible, like less than 0.001% I will admit
that it's possible our American scope of politics these days is expanding, but we are still nowhere near the scope of politics internationally as far as having viable communist candidates, you know, people who can actually end up in the government or viable fascists on the other side. We don't really have that. Whereas in other parts of the world, they do and have for a long time.
Like Jörg Haider.
Right, like Jörg
Haider.
Who's
dead.
For example, who is dead? Okay. So more about election talk. We have
our top 10 list.
That's right.
Cue the music.
Here it is.
All right, awesome. All right, so our top 10 list that we're going to bring for you today is the top 10 web tools for the election season. So let's go from 10 down to 1.
All right.
You want to start us off?
I would rather you start us off since I'm marking something on the timesheet.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right, the first thing you can do is compare the candidates. Okay, now we've actually given you a few websites for that already.
We have.
There was the one, it was like 3 or 4 episodes back that I really liked, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it takes every issue and gives you quotes
for each one.
That was one that we acted out. That was fun. You guys should check that out. Here's another one, SelectSmart's 2008 Presidential Candidate Selector, and it lines, now, this one does line up McCain and Obama only, but you can basically see issues next to each other, and you can see exactly what they're for and against.
Yep, so there's a lot of that out there, but we really endorse Glass Booth. When we did it for ourselves personally, it was very cool.
It was pretty cool.
It was very cool.
You'd be surprised at where you're actually aligned and... You know, you might think you're so anti some candidate, but you're not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
John's going through puberty over here.
Again. Okay. All right.
For the 8th time today.
Shut up. Number 9. Go poll crazy at 538.com. That's all written out in words, no numbers. 538.com. Basically, Nate Silver is a total data geek, but he knows how to apply it to interesting topics. He proved that with Baseball Prospectus, which is another website you can visit. And his 538 grabs all the polls it can find, weighs them based on methodologies and past accuracy, projects data for regions where it can't find polls, and runs thousands of simulated elections to come up with a likely outcome.
Cool.
Silver's site currently has Obama walking away with it, if nothing else. But it'll be interesting to see come election day how database projections fared with real people. So if
I think
you want,
just about every poll says Obama's walking away with it as of right now.
Yeah.
So it's definitely true.
In fact, as we record this, the last presidential debate is going on.
Yeah, that's why we got to finish so we can watch it.
I would say it would be more important for us to have watched the entire thing, except... Honestly, it's
geocentric is more important.
No, I was going to say, it's just going to be the same old stuff that we've been hearing over and over again.
They're going to turn on the teleprompters for McCain and Obama.
You will get better information on what they are really going to say and what they really think and what they're really going to do by going to Glass Booth.
It's actually true.
All right.
Who knows? Maybe there'll be something cool. We'll have to
Number
see.
8.
Get your video fixed at YouTube's YouChoose08. So you should see what they're saying. Get all the video you want. And there's a special section of YouTube. Again, it's called YouChoose08. And you can see informative videos. And you can see some of the paid-for campaign ads and things like that. So, number 7.
Number 7, follow the money.
This one's cool.
Yeah. Spending's become a much-debated issue, at least in this part of the race, to the White House. Using some cool visualization tools, you can get all kinds of specific data on the wheres and whats of government spending. This Google Earth layer, and they give you a little link here, so if you check this out at Lifehacker and just search for their top 10 web tools for the election season, you can find the link. It adds pinpoints. There's a Google Earth layer that adds pinpoints wherever appropriated money is being sent, although it leans heavily toward military and homeland security bills. So the graph...
So what's cool is that you can find out... I think the best thing to use this for is to find out where the election is really going to... where the battleground states really are, because that's where the candidates are going to spend the most money, or the ones they think they might lose.
Right. So there's also a couple other links they link you to. One is at Many Eyes, is one thing that gives you some graphs, some interactive Java graphs.
And it shows you basically the way you have to see the picture, but it has circles, and the bigger the circle, the more money.
Right.
You might have seen them for other graphs before. They're really cool. I really like these kind of graphs, actually. It's a good way to look at data.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 6. You should see what the candidates said about your hot topic button. Google Labs actually offers 2 neat search tools that let you get beyond the basic talking points and read or see the candidate speaking on any topic. First one, in quotes, lets you type a term and see how Obama and McCain referenced it in speeches, interviews, and other places. Gaudi, that's G-A-U-D-I, is the YouTube searching audio index tool. It pretty much does the same thing, points you towards specific points in the video. That's really cool. and lets you play it. So that way, if you want to, you know, if you want to hear what Obama said about such and such a point, type it in, and it'll take you to the part in the video where he says it. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
You gotta
love
technology.
All right, number five. Google has a voter info map. So if you still don't know where to register to vote, and if your state still allows you to vote at this point, check it out quick. And go to maps.google.com/vote, and it will help you find a place, and it will give you all the info that you need. So your time is running out. So if you need to register, you better do it now.
Number four, vote early with a no-excuse absentee ballot. In 28 states, you can skip the early morning, lunch break, after work jam, and vote with an absentee ballot. No excuse required. So what this means is usually with an absentee ballot, you have to be out of the country. I actually voted absentee in 2004 because I was living in Poland at the time. In this case, you can actually vote with an absentee ballot without actually being absent from the country. And that way you can get ahead of the lines, and it's a convenient way to do it.
Cool. Number three, track developing stories on blogs and new sites. Microsoft has a new thing called Political Streams, and it's at socialstreams.livelabs.com/politics. And basically what it does is it follows news stories across blogs, portals, and other aggregators, if those of you who are familiar with that terminology, tracking how often and for how long something is getting linked and written about. Basically, it's for you political veterans or perhaps jaded political people who always see an October surprise in an election year. And this way, you can see what stories and trends are gaining around and staying there with these search tools. There's that one, and there's also Google's blog search, which is going to help do the same thing for you.
Cool. Number two, track fundraising and donations by candidates and your neighbors. This is really cool one. OpenSecrets.org. Check it out. It has maps, graphs, and details that can keep you busy for days if you wanted to. I don't know about days. But what's really cool is that you can actually see who in your neighborhood has donated money to which campaign.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And there's another website that I've been to that does a similar thing. It might actually be this one. In fact, it is. This is the one I've been to. It's Fundraise 2008. And you can get there by going to fundraise.org. And it gives you a Google map. And it's brought to you by the Huffington Post, which is one of the bigger news blogs out there. Yeah. In fact, it might be the biggest.
Probably is the biggest.
I think it is, actually.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But you can check out exactly what's been going on in your neighborhood and who's been given to what. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of fun to see.
Yep. Number one. Get beyond the spin at factcheck.org. And fact check is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Next time you're watching
It's not partisan either. It's
no. What it does is, this is what it does for you. Next time you're watching a debate, and one of the candidates says to the other, you voted 85 times to murder small children in their sleep. And then you say to yourself, that sounds weird.
Yeah.
What you'll do is you go to factcheck.org. And you will see, that's the debate I'm looking for, and you click on it. And you'll find the part where so-and-so said that the other guy murdered, like, voted to murder children in their sleep. And you'll see it says, not true.
And it'll say straight up, there's no political intention behind this. They'll either say that, yes, the person did say this, or no, they didn't. Yes, they did vote on this. No, they didn't. And it's fact-checking. So it gets you beyond the emotional hype and spin that you often see in the political world, especially in this time of the year.
And the other thing,
an election year.
The other thing, I think it's a good experience for people to go to factcheck.org, because what you'll find out if you happen to be one of those people that thinks, well, my party is the virtuous party and never says anything untrue, you'll find that your party is just as bad as
exactly.
The other one.
I've talked to people that are like, oh, yes, you know, the other party is so bad and they're hypocrites and they do all this stuff. And, you know, one minute the politician is saying this and the next minute they're doing it. Well, I hate to say it, but I don't care what party you're in. I'm just guessing that your party does it too. Why? Because all the dirty political parties do it.
Yeah.
Now there are, and I'm not saying they're virtuous people, they're good people that run in politics, but there's also political scheming and everything else. So yeah.
That's
those
right.
are your top 10 tools that you can use for the election season.
Very cool. And we only have a little bit left for you, but the first thing on the agenda is our weekly Tech Bite by Ethan Clark. Take it away, Ethan.
Thank you, guys. This is Ethan Clark's Tech Bite of the Week. New MacBooks were announced this past Tuesday, Main differences consumers will notice is the body is one solid piece of aluminum that has been carved out. An all-glass screen and touchpad that can take multi-gestures up to four fingers. The entire touchpad is one giant button as well, and pricing ranges from $9.99 and up. SanDisk has launched ultra-affordable screenless MP3 players. They can only take microSD cards up to 16 gigs and can only play DRM-free MP3 or WMA formats. They will run at $20 and up, and $35 for the Artist Edition. And this has been Ethan Clark's Tech Bite of the Week.
Thank you,
Thanks
Ethan.
Thanks a lot, Ethan.
And thank you, SanDisk. Though that may not necessarily be something you did on purpose, we're glad
That's
that your device
cool.
is simple enough that it refuses to play the DRM music.
Awesome. All right. So with that, we can go ahead and move on to our tech and entertainment section of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Our first one is brought to you by Mobile Crunch. Check it out, mobilecrunch.com. Okay. And the name of the hotel is the Malibu Beach Inn in Malibu, California. A software firm called Runtriz out of Hollywood, California, recently signed a deal with these guys, which is really cool. You check into your hotel room at this hotel, and I hope others will follow the trend. And if you have an iPod Touch, you hand it over to them. If not, they give you one to use for your entire stay.
Very cool.
And this iPod Touch has some really cool features behind it.
Yeah, basically, it looks like, from what we can see, and the article doesn't mention too many details, but they show a picture of the proposed operating system that would be uploaded to these iPods. And it looks like you can, I mean, it'll give you all kinds of information about the area you're in. It looks like you could probably order room service, receive a wake-up
yeah.
call, all from your from the Wi-Fi on your mm-hmm. iPod Touch or your iPhone.
So you can do it while you're, like, you know, eating. You know, you're eating late and you said you want to stay a little later for the live band and you're like, oh man, I don't want to wake up at 6 a.m. tomorrow like we were planning. Let's go ahead and, you know, put a do not disturb for 6 a.m. and we'll tell them not to wake us up. But we do want a wake up call for 10 a.m. Let's set that too.
Right.
All from the iPod Touch. Really cool. And it's all on the Wi-Fi. So the way it works is you walk into the hotel. If you have your iPod Touch, you hand it over. If not, then they give you one and they load on this web application. And what's really cool about it is that it's, let me see if I can find this.
Which part are you looking for?
It's,
I don't want awkward silence.
Okay, it's a web, it's a
we
web
taking
application.
Over awkward silence?
Yeah. It's not in Apple's App Store. And so they won't have all these barriers with trying to go around the App Store and getting through all that stuff. So it's actually purely based web application. So
right.
it makes it a lot easier and a lot less complicated. So the hotels, it's actually really easy for them too.
Right.
And you enter your hotel room and your security code and you're good to go. And like you said, you can arrange transportation. You can sign up. You can put some housekeeping on the list. You can set up a wake-up call. You can find out where good shopping is, good meals are, where some private dining is. So this is a nice little item.
Yeah.
I'd love to use it sometime.
I'm excited about that. That's certainly the way that hotels need to go.
Especially because most of the things that they do right now are pretty antiquated.
Yeah, you consider, hanging a little sign on your door? What is that?
Yeah, or like you pick up the phone and you have to go through, like, you know, you have to push this button, push that button, push this button, and then you have to tell someone when they want you to wake you up, and hopefully they wrote it down so the person in the morning can call you when they see the sheet.
I will say the nicer hotels do a better job.
They do.
Of course. You get what you pay for.
But this is even cooler.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is
and
just
you can do
awesome.
It from anywhere. You could be, like, gone from the hotel room and tell them not to disturb you, and you're not even there.
Keep the maids out.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Something John might be interested in.
As soon as I
dealing
hit stop,
of sorts.
As soon as I hit stop, I'm strangling you. What you don't
you really
know,
will.
What you
he
don't
really
know, listeners, is that Nate and I hate each other in real life.
We're like, all right, hit the stop button. Yeah, that's how it is.
Okay,
all right. Last
one more
thing
story
on the list.
For you for tech and entertainment.
You guys like
you,
Rock Band,
yes,
right?
Rock
we
band.
We talk about Rock Band and Guitar Hero a lot on this show because we love it. We've told you guys the new set lists as they come out and told you some of the cool new features. Well, this one might be a little ridiculous, but, you know, we still like it. Still kind of cool. We're still going to talk about it.
I'm probably not going to buy it, though.
Yeah, me neither.
But this article was written by a guy with a Polish last name. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, cool.
Since you love Polish
Andrew Liszewski.
Liszewski.
That means his Polish name would be Andrzej. That's Andrew. So yeah. Depending on whether
but
he's... Yeah.
I bet you he doesn't even know how you say that name in Polish. He probably thinks probably his name not. Is like Lazuski.
Kaczynski.
But anyway, yeah, basically what we have here coming out for the Xbox 360 version of Rock Band is a smoke and light effects kit that will automatically synchronize from the music of the game. There's not a whole lot other information available on it at this present moment, and a lot of people are thinking that's a little bit over the top, but if you're a big Rock Band fan and the promise of synced lighting and smoked effects is all you need to hear, you can actually pre-order the stage kit from Amazon, where it will eventually be available for $99.99.
A little too expensive, but this just goes, again, because, you know, it's kind of like when they came out with the amp for Guitar Hero. You'd plug it in and it would actually play what you're playing.
Right.
It's one of those things completely unnecessary, but again, I mean, I can't hate on it too much because it goes to the whole experience of the game in the first place.
The reason that this game and Guitar Hero became popular is because when it's, you play you feel like a rock star.
And that's why this is actually reasonable.
Yeah, it's going to add to that whole experience and make you feel more like
that's right. So once again, I wouldn't buy it.
Provided it's not some little thing that sits on your desk and flashes like a blue light at you.
But I mean, if you think about it, now this might be a little absurd, especially because for the money and time you could actually learn to actually play the guitar and start a band, but you could actually see like some rich family like somewhere out west in a big house, and they actually set up like a stage.
Yeah,
and they like have guitar stands for the guitars and amps, you know, the drum. They like buy the nice new drum set from Rock Band with the cymbals and everything, and then they have all the lighting, and then the crowd can come in and watch them, and then they have a big, you know, screen projection behind them too. You can see something like that, which is pretty absurd. But once again, like, I mean, that's why people buy this game in the first place. So for all you guys hating on it out there, I think it's actually
calm it down.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It is.
Maybe it's not worth $100, but it's still
it might
cool.
be something that you would only buy if you have, you know, nothing else to do with your money. But having said that, it is cool. I would definitely play it.
Now, we have an official announcement to make here at the end of the show.
All right.
Time's up, Cha-Cha.
Yeah! Yeah!
We got them. No answer back.
That's awesome. I thought they were going to easily get that one.
Yeah.
Because we did this week's question more to be funny than we did to actually stump them.
And we stumped them.
And in doing so, we actually stumped them.
That makes the official score Geocentric 6 and Cha-Cha 8. We're only two behind them. We're going to take them out.
Not bad. Well, having said that, it looks like we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show for the week. We had a good time with you guys, and we're going to end you off, as always, with a new artist for you to check out. The artist is called Houston Calls. The song is called A Shot in the Dark. Check them out. It's from the album The End of an Error. The website is www.myspace.com/HoustonCalls.
That's right. So until next time, fight the good fight. Remember, the battle may be lost, but we will win the war. Natural forces are on our side.
The RIAA will lose.
That's right.
And in the meantime, we will listen to Andrea Bocelli. And actually, we're going to listen to Houston
Calls.
Now,
I'm talking about after the show.
That's what I'm going to listen to all night long. Okay.
Okay, so that's about it for Geocentric, the hostile takeover of awkward silence. Until next time.
Later on.
Finding time to rhyme, mistakes with what's at stake. No, that's just too contrived. Can I get a little taste of your lips so I feel alive? Can you offer up the same uncertainty that I define? Are you up for keeping in touch once a month or twice a year? Can you handle regret and the lack of will to persevere? This apathy will haunt me over and over and over. When will I wake up? Please fix me, I don't feel a thing. I've got a hand of wish and one of chance. Don't bother, it's enough to get me through it. I close my eyes and roll. A set of loving ties, I'm sure. Convincing as a shot in the dark could be.
uncertainty that I define. Are you up for keeping in touch once a month or twice a year? Can you handle regret and the lack of will to persevere? This apathy